They did?
Yes, they did.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, thanks for telling us. You have to get more information from Janie on that. So. We're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 5 tonight. And as I said in my lesson this morning, actually when I got the two lessons together, I didn't even realize that I would overlap on them. But that's all right. We can always do it again. So, 2 Kings chapter 5. And the lesson tonight is not so much about the general, but as it is about the slave girl that he brought into his house. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' And the king of the Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing." So when Naaman was told by, or Naaman's wife was told by the slave girl that there was a prophet in Israel that could heal her husband of his leprosy. And so she said if he would go there, the prophet could heal him. Well, evidently, Naaman didn't pay much attention to what she said because he went to the king of Syria. So the king of Syria says, "Okay, I'll send you a letter with you." And if you read in 2 Kings chapter 5, I'm not going to read all of it, but you'll find that Naaman was sent to the wrong person. He went to the king of Israel, and the king said, "Am I God? Can I do this? He must be trying to start a war with me." And then somebody explained to him it was the prophet in Samaria, which was one of the cities of Israel. And he was going, if he went there, he could be healed of his leprosy. And so we look at that, and then we find then what was normally done to separate people with this particular disease. And of course, during that time, it was a disease that ultimately would be fatal. There was no specific treatment for it at the time. And so if you got that particular disease, you are going to die of it eventually. Now, there are other kinds of skin diseases, for example, that might look like it for a while, but they could heal up after a while. And there is a process, according to the law of Moses, that was to be gone through if you're healed of those things. Then they were to go to the priests, and the priest was to proclaim them clean, and they were to offer a sacrifice to God. And in Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45, it says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' And he shall be unclean all the days that he has the sore, and he shall be unclean. And he is unclean and shall dwell alone, and then his dwelling shall be the outside of the camp." In other words, if someone had a disease and they thought it was leprosy, as long as that showed up, he was to be separated from the people of Israel. That was what the law of Moses said. Well, you know, sometimes, and this kind of gets away from a particular idea, but you think that how did Moses know during that time to seal people off because of an illness that could be spread to others? God had to have told him. God had to put his power within Moses to be able to know those laws and to teach them, and he did. So it was from God that this was done. But here we have Naaman. He was not an Israelite. He was a Syrian. And in Luke chapter 17 and verse 12 and verse 13, Jesus had healed 10 men that had leprosy. The reason he healed them together was they were separated from their community. They could not go into the cities. They could not be with other people. They could only be with other people who had leprosy. The Bible says, of course, that Jesus healed them. He told them, go and show yourself to the priest. And they were healed along the way. And they were doing what God's word said, the law of Moses, and what Jesus told them. And, of course, we remember that there was only one of the ten that came back and thanked Jesus for what he had done. And the Bible says he was a Samaritan. So the nine Jews who were healed, they didn't even come back and thank Jesus for it. But the Samaritan did. And so that's an important passage in Luke chapter 17. But we know the situation here, not so much for Naaman, the general in the army there, but the slave girl that he had in his house there working for him. She was a slave, and so and we find there in chapter 5 that she was taken captive. It says in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So what do we know about it? Well, she was carried off into slavery when the Syrians raided Israel. Now, sometimes when the people of Israel turned away from God, he allowed enemies to come in and afflict them in many different ways. Sometimes they come in and defeat them in battle. Sometimes they would come and then take their possessions. Sometimes they would take cities and make it for themselves, and they would do other things. The Bible said, and in fact, all through the giving of the law of Moses, God told him, if this happens, if you will repent and come back to me, I will deliver you and I will be your God and I will take care of you. But they had to be faithful, and a lot of times they weren't. And so they suffered the consequences. So one of those was that other nations might invade, and in this case, they came back and on a raid and they took this girl captive. We don't know what her age was or family situation. We don't know. We're not told that. She was old enough to understand the situation she was in and in the situation that Naaman was in. And so she was at least old enough to that. But what about her master? Chapter 5, verse 1 says, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. And he was also a mighty man of valor and a leper. So he was all of those things. Some translations there where it says the commander of the army, it says he was captain of the host. Well, the equivalent in our army in this country today would be a four-star general or admiral if it was in the Navy. And they would be the highest ranking officer in that particular branch of the service. Well, that's what he was. He was a man of great authority, great power, a man that could command his whole army. And all everybody in the army under him, which was everybody else, had to do what he said. So that was the kind of man that he was. And yet, it says he was a leper. In other words, he had leprosy. It was an incurable disease. But then it says that this maid, we read about her also. Chapter 5, verse 3. So then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. That prophet, of course, is Elisha. Elisha, the successor to the power of Elijah. In fact, when Elijah was about to be taken up to heaven and God told him that was going to happen, he told Elisha, what do you want from me? And Elisha's request was, give me a double portion of your power. So as great as the power of Elijah the prophet was, Elisha was granted that, and he received a double portion. And as far as we know, during that particular time, Elisha worked more miracles than any other prophet of his time. And so, but her situation, you look at it for a moment, she was deprived of her home, her family, of her nation. She had no hope of release because she was taken to be a slave. She worked for somebody. And you think about it. If she was like most people, She would have probably been very angry. She would have been very bitter about what had happened. She might even blame God for allowing this to happen to her. And yet God sent her there for a purpose. And then maybe she didn't understand it, but she was willing to be faithful to God. Now, if she were like many people today, she might have thought, well, you know, I'm captive, I'm a slave, and I've been taken from my family, and I just let him rot in his disease, and maybe it's a good riddance. Maybe she had that kind of attitude, or could have, but she didn't. Because she was still a believer in God. She was still faithful to the true God. And she knew, she did know that God could heal this man from his leprosy. And so, you think about it for a moment. You go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, in speaking there, even though he was in prison, and he knew he would very soon be taken out and put to death. In Philippians 4 and verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, but for I have learned in whatever state I am there to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer it and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, she lived a long time before Christ came, but she had the same kind of attitude that Paul had in prison, knowing he was going to be put to death at some time. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now, he was not complacent. That's different from contentment. Complacent means he just didn't care about it anymore. He was content to do the best that he could with what he had. And this girl demonstrates the same kind of attitude. But she showed no bitterness even toward her captors. In fact, you think what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Whatsoever you wish that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So there is the greatest way of dealing with other people that's ever been taught. A lot of times we call that the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, she demonstrated that teaching, again, long before Jesus ever came upon the earth. So there's a lot in this girl that, however old she was at least old enough to understand the situation she was in and what the situation Naaman was in. So she didn't go in bitterness and hate for them for what they had done to her, but she sincerely wanted to help this man, even though he was a great general. He could not be cured of his leprosy on his own. He needed God's help. But also, she appeared to be eager to help even her master. Even though she was not just a hired household servant, she was a slave. She was taken from her village and place she lived, from her family, from everything that she knew in life, and she was taken away from that. Now again, chapter 5 and verse 3 says, "And she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" Notice, consider the faith that she had. Even though she was just a slave in this house, she still had complete faith in God. Matthew 5 and verse 44, Jesus said there, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." Now, that's one of the most difficult passages for us as human beings to do of all the commands we're given. He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, that's not easy to do. And if it were easy, God wouldn't have to command us to do it, because that goes against our nature. We want to get back at those people that do things to us. But this girl didn't have that attitude. She had the attitude that Jesus taught. "But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." 2 Kings 5:3, it says, she says, I wish that my master, he could go to Samaria and there the prophet could heal him. So look at the great attitude she had, even toward those who were doing all these things to her and to her family. And we don't know how many of her family are in the place where she lived had been might have been killed in that raid that was done by the Syrian army. And so she had every right, as far as we view things sometimes, to be bitter, to be angry, and all of those things. But she knew that Elisha, the prophet, had the power to cure. And so said he would cure him of his leprosy. And so we look at it and realize also another thing about her. She had a trusting faith. She did not doubt that God had that power. No doubting of God's power. Yeah, she did not doubt it at all. Now, she may not have fully understood why she was where she ended up and why God allowed that to happen. But I suspect it's because God had a purpose for her in her life. And so she was fulfilling that. Now, she did not disbelieve. She believed, and it was without hesitation. You go over to Acts chapter 10 for a moment. In Acts chapter 10, the scene there is the Apostle Peter was up on a housetop. He was resting there before he went down to eat. And he saw a vision there of a sheet let down from heaven with all these unclean animals in it. And three times the voice of God came and said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And each time he said, "No, Lord, I've never done this. I've never eaten an unclean animal." Well, these animals are unclean under the law of Moses. But each time the voice from God said, "What I have cleansed, do not consider unclean." Well, there were then Gentiles who had come searching for Peter. They were sent from Cornelius, the Roman centurion. And they went to the house to seek out Peter. And they were knocking at the gate to find where he was. Well, it says there in Acts chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, "When Peter thought about the vision," so he didn't understand what this vision meant. It says, "The Spirit said unto him," the Holy Spirit spoke to him, "and he said, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore and go down with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Peter went to the house of Cornelius. He became the first of the apostles, the first of the Christians to preach the message of the eternal gospel to the Gentiles. And he was chosen for that purpose to do so. And partly because he was, as they might say, so Jewish that he had to be the one to take the message to the Gentiles, to prove to himself, to the other Jews, and to the Gentiles that they were now worthy of the gospel. Well, this girl did not doubt in any way that God had sent her there and for the purpose that could be done. She didn't say, "He might be able to cure you, or perhaps he could if you'll go there, that you might recover." No, she said, if you go to that prophet in Samaria, he can cure you of your leprosy. But she had compassion on a fellow human being. Normally, we think of compassion as something that goes from somebody in a high position to someone in a low position. That the one in the high position can be of help, and so they'll have compassion and help someone. Well, this time it goes the other direction. That compassion goes from her. She did not have leprosy. The man did. The king, the general did. And so in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, it says of Jesus, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus was going to die for them on the cross, and yet he had compassion for them. The word compassion comes from a Latin word meaning to suffer along with. So Jesus suffered along with these people. Even though he knew he had the power to heal the sick and raise the dead, to die on the cross to forgive them, he still had compassion for them. It says, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. In John chapter 10, of course, Jesus told them, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I'm the one that has come to be shepherd over you." Also, she could have felt sorry for herself and bitter and resentful and all of those things, but she didn't. Instead, she had compassion for Naaman. So here again, we have the idea of one of great power and authority to command the whole armies of the king of Syria, and yet she, the slave, had compassion on him. And it's a great example for us also. Regardless what station we have in life, whether we're high up or low down or wherever it might be, anywhere in between, God can use us to his service, and he will if we give him the opportunity. She had a better understanding of God's love for everyone than the great teachers and rabbis of the Jews that were in Jerusalem and the teachers of the law there. And so we find that when we go over to read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of Jesus' personal ministry, how these great teachers of the law and everything, they couldn't even understand the very simple things that Jesus taught. And they rejected him as the Messiah because he was not considered to be on their level, because they thought of themselves as high over everyone else. This servant girl didn't do that. But look at 2 Kings chapter 5, and we look there at verse 8. 2 Kings 5 and verse 8. So it was, when Elisha the man of God heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, and sent the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Elisha sent word to the king. The king said, "I'm not God. I can't heal him of his leprosy. What am I going to do?" Elisha heard that. He sent a messenger and said, "Send him to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." Well, Elisha was not boasting about his goodness and his righteousness and his power. He was simply saying that I am a prophet of God, and God will do this. Verse 9, in 2 Kings 5, the Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. So Naaman did what he was told. He went to Elisha the prophet. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Now that's not a hard thing to understand. Samaria, where he was about probably 20 miles from the Jordan River. It was down a long, steep road, but he could get there all right. He could go wash in the Jordan River 7 times and be cleansed. Cleansed of leprosy, cleansed of an incurable disease and from which he was going to die. But what did Naaman do? What was his reaction? Verse 11, but Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." So Naaman wants some great thing to be done. He was thinking, "I'm a great general. I can order the whole army and they'll go at once. And so surely this prophet's going to do some great thing for me." He said, "I thought he would surely come out." Well, he thought wrong. Because the message was the important thing, not who delivered the message. So Elisha didn't even go out. And so he was furious and he didn't want to do what God said. Verse 12, he said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And he turned and went away in a rage. If you look up these particular rivers, they are mountain rivers coming down from the snow and everything at Mount Hermon. They're probably much cleaner than the Jordan River was by the time it got there. They weren't muddy or anything. So he thought, "Well, these are much cleaner than Jordan. Why can't I just go there?" Well, verse 13, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So that's what Naaman needed to do. Notice even these servants, this wasn't the slave girl in his house, this was the other servants, came to him and said, if he told you to do some great thing, would you have done it? Well, of course he would, because he was the general, and that's what he expected. But notice what verse 14 says. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. But it all goes back to the servant girl, the slave girl in his house. She said, only if he could go and see the prophet that is in Samaria, and he will be healed. But we look at that and we see the great example that she set, her attitude, her love, her faith, and all of those things. That's a great blessing to you and me to understand that and follow that kind of example. Now, she didn't hold a grudge against anyone for what was done to her. So I'm sure she didn't want to be there. She wanted to be able to go back home, but in this case, she couldn't. She didn't try to get even in some way and hold back that knowledge so that he wouldn't be healed and he would die from it. You turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 25. It says there, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's exactly the kind of life this girl was living. She kept herself unspotted from the evil that she could have had if her attitude was wrong. She set the right example of helping others who were in need of her help, even though normally in society it wouldn't look that way, but she was willing to help. And again, we look at this example that she set. And the Lord says there, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their trouble or affliction. In other words, help those who are in need. Now, this doesn't mean only those, but those who are in need, and we can help them, to help them as best we can. Well, that girl did that very thing, even to the great general of the army. But it says then, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. She did that in spite of where she was, and in spite of the pagan household she was living in. She still believed in the true God and was willing to follow. Well, that's the example to you and me. And this evening, as we look at our own lives, sometimes we realize how far short of God's will we fall. And we need strength and help and then guidance from others and prayers. And if you need to come tonight for whatever reason it may be, if you do, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing.